Hey everyone, if you're enjoying Bjork Unraveled, there are two ways you can support the show. One, you can share it with your friends. And two, you can make a small monthly donation through Anchor or a one-time donation through PayPal. Both links are in the show notes. I'm an independent producer, so every dollar helps me break even on music and transcription software. Just being real here, if 20 of you donated $1 a month, I could cover my monthly expenses and keep the show going. Thanks so much for your support. All right, on to the show. You're listening to Bjork Unraveled, a series that demystifies Bjork's music one piece at a time. I'm your host, Savannah Wright. The set design for Bjork's tours has often been more about fitting everyone on the stage than transporting the audience into another place. Think about it. Bjork has toured with full orchestras, brass bands, a Tesla coil, and a choir of Inuit women. They gotta go somewhere. A simple set is practical too. The Vespertine, Volta, and Pyophilia tours traveled to several cities across the world. So those sets had to be easily deconstructed and reassembled. Cornucopia, however, didn't really have those restrictions. It started as a residency at the Shed in Hudson Yards. Bjork made that place her home for a few weeks, which allowed her to use a more elaborate stage design. And as Bjork says, Utopia is a place. Someone had to transport us there.
The whole kind of idea of Cornucopia is so kind of a better world and a better civilization existing, and also to, by celebrating nature and the forms of it and the aesthetics of it, then hopefully to make people hold it more dear and be more accountable to preserving it and protecting it.
This is Kiara Stevenson. She's a stage designer for theater, ballet, and music tours. And she designed the sets for Cornucopia.
We were acting almost like as a fan club of nature, trying to pay homage to its beauty in strange and wonderful ways, while supporting Bjork's environmental message and creative vision all in one hit.
Kiara has worked on plays like A Midsummer Night's Dream, Richard III, and The Starry Messenger. But she's also designed sets for performers like Lorde, Machine Gun Kelly, and Sigur Rós. Her task was to bring Bjork's sci-fi utopian world to life. The set had to be immersive, but not distract from the performers or the grand visuals of Tobias Gremler. In this episode, Kiara will talk about how she accomplished just that. She'll discuss the natural forms that influenced the stage design, the intention behind the veils used in the show, and why working with Bjork inspired Kiara to trust her instincts. So I wanted to start off by asking how this collaboration for Cornucopia started. How did you get involved?
I got involved primarily sort of in the latter stages of what was a long thought process between Bjork and her musicians and her vision for the tour, and really I was brought on quite late in the day by Bruno Poet, the amazing lighting designer who she had on board already and who I've had the pleasure to work with in the past.
Yeah, I actually just spoke with Bruno last week, so yeah, he was a great interview.
Cool.
Yeah.
Oh, fantastic. Yeah, he's great. He's a good guy.
I'm curious, did you follow Bjork's work before that? Were you interested in working with her?
I mean, you can't love music and not be aware of Bjork. She's, you know, she's just a phenomenon and a force of nature and one of a kind. So of course I'm a fan of Bjork. But to be honest, I wasn't really an expert, or I didn't know her music. And obviously the process of making and collaborating with her on the show, I became much more bonded and much more connected to her music, and obviously an even bigger fan now than I was before.
Yeah, totally. I wanted to ask about that actually, your collaboration process with her. So Bruno told me that he had like a whole afternoon talking about the lighting with her. Did she kind of set aside time with you? Was she hands-on, or did she kind of let you run with whatever ideas you had?
No, I mean, what is worth mentioning is, as well as Bruno Poet kind of bringing me into the fold and suggesting that I might be a good fit, what was really important was that Bjork, at the similar stage or similar timing to me being considered as a useful part in the puzzle, Bjork brought on this incredible film director, Lucretia Martel. And Bjork's a huge fan of her work and entrusted the overall creative direction of the show to Lucrezia.
Quick background on Lucrezia Martel. She's an award-winning film director, screenwriter, and producer from Argentina. You might recognize her name from indie films like La Cienega, The Holy Girl, and The Headless Woman. And like Kiara said, she directed the Cornucopia concert series at The Shed.
Herself, me, and Bruno all sat together and got on very well. And it was really us taking direction from her, because I think for Bjork, there's so many moving parts in the kind of shows that she wants to produce that it made sense for us to kind of connect with Lucrezia and really take, not take orders, but form and cook up a show with her. And then she would relay that to Bjork. So most of my creative conversations were with Lucrezia in the initial stages. And then obviously when we were in rehearsal and Bjork was in the room, then we all talked about what was right and what was wrong.
Yeah, that's a good point. So I'm curious, when you were working with Lucrezia, did she give you some references to start with, or what were kind of the initial thoughts that you all had about what the stage should look like?
I think the starting point came after Lucrezia went to visit Bjork in Iceland, and they had a fantastic kind of initial meeting and got to know each other and started kind of conceiving the show. So we sort of began cooking up ideas from that, as well as references of, you know, natural forms and obviously this kind of interest in the zoomed in details of nature and the kind of epicness that they can look like, really. And wanting to honour a huge amount of video content that had been created by Tobias Gremler. So it was thinking about all those amazing kind of, they're almost art pieces in themselves, the video content for each of the songs, thinking about all of those and wondering how to hold not only that, but also Bjork herself and her huge kind of ensemble band and, you know, percussion and flutes and harps and everything. So it was kind of absorbing all the factors that were already in play and then wondering with the set and the lighting how we could hold those and present all those things in the best way possible.
Yeah, no, I mean, that is no small feat, because there is so much to look at in the tour that she did. Yeah, so as you mentioned, Utopia is blending nature and technology. And I was curious how you started visualizing what that would look like as a set. You mentioned some of the natural forms that you looked at. Could you kind of explain that process?
Yeah, sure. I mean, when you look at the design, it's got, you know, some serious mushroom inspiration going on there. But in nature, there's so many patterns. You know, you can look in a puddle and see patterns in the water that you also see on Jupiter, on a planet, from a satellite picture. You know, waves and gills in coral reefs that you see in a mushroom in a forest. You know, there's these repeating patterns. And we like the idea of making this kind of little ecosystem, this sort of floating, suspended world of music making that felt inspired by nature, but by almost slicing off the top of the organic form, it suddenly placed it in a much more kind of modern context, and again created a kind of nice kind of blank platform on which the musicians and the artists on the stage would be the things that really drew our attention. And everything we were doing was kind of undergirdling that, quite literally, through organic forms, obviously inspired by mycelium and mushrooms. So we really took that, we zoomed into nature, we wanted to celebrate those patterns and make them feel like an epic landscape, which I hope we did, as well as get the scale right to really support Tobias Gremler's amazing video content. So we were hoping that the video would feel like it was growing out of the forms of the stage. which I think at certain points in the show that definitely did feel like that, but also not be distracting enough to overwhelm. And actually it was always Bjork and her musicians that were the thing that everyone was focusing on, which is exactly what it as it should be.
Yeah, no, I mean, that answers the other question that I was going to ask about is how you, because I feel like Cornucopia had a lot of different themes that it was trying to accomplish. One was nature and technology, but also being intimate and voyeuristic. And so that answered my question about how you did that through the set design. And I was also curious, were you involved in the decision for the set of veils that was used in the show, or was that someone else?
No, that was definitely part of my input. Was the idea of projecting it onto veils came from two things. It came from just what you said there about, you know, Bjork wanting it to be both an epic experience and a very private, intimate one. And Bjork really said that to me herself. And she is a contrast of, you know, introvert and extrovert, kind of all in one incredible performer. And the veils gave this sense of shyness and mystery and privacy at the start of the show. And then hopefully as we kind of peeled them back and opened up, the show kind of bloomed more and more and got bigger and more confident and more epic. So that was definitely a huge part of it. Was we have this incredible video content, now how can we make it even more incredible by projecting it onto layers and really meeting the ambition of the sound. The sound design was always spoken about very early on as being 360 degrees, and by projecting the video content on layers and giving it that kind of three-dimensional layered quality, it met the sound design and responded to that. It was, I tell you, one thing that was really cool about working on the show and working for Bjork is the root of every decision we made was always the music. That was always the reason. So Bjork designed this incredible sound chamber, which it looked cool, but the reason why it was that shape and the reason why it looked the way it did was because of the sound that she wanted it to make, not because she wanted it to look nice. So when we were ever struggling with something, it was less about, oh, what's a nice design or what looks good. It was, you know, what helps the music. And it was cool to come up with this veiled version of layers of projection and layers of video content that was really responding to the idea of the sound being 360.
That's so interesting. I didn't know that. Yeah, it was created with the idea of the sound design as well. I mean, I definitely, when I saw the show, I interpreted it in the context of kind of the mood or the story of the lyrics, especially with the gate, feeling like it's pulling back and you're entering this new world. But I love thinking of how it makes it more 3D too. That was such a brilliant choice. I'm really glad that was added.
I think you're right. You know, also it's so nice when shows progress and they go on a bit of a narrative themselves, you know, spatially. And I think by creating those layers, it allowed us to do that and to take the audience somewhere and to open it up more and more and close down also when we wanted to. So the composition of the layers of gauze and projection surfaces was always in response to the song and what suited the emotions of that whichever track. So the two kind of work together nicely.
Yeah, for sure. And kind of going along with that, this is a unique show in that it really does tell a story, and it was presented as a theatrical production. And I know you have a lot of experience in theater. And so I was curious how developing the set design for the show compared to other theatrical productions you've worked on.
That is a good question. I think the great thing about working in music is it's much more liberating. I've just finished working on a play in Ireland, and which I've absolutely loved. But you spend a lot of time dealing with smaller details that are vital for that production. You know, whether it's, you know, where the candlesticks are going to live, or how you're going to strike three chairs off a stage. And you know, there's a lot more kind of logistics to serve the play well. And what's so fantastic about music is you can kind of often think you can do bigger, broader gestures and not get too bogged down in those finer details of an actual kind of script. But I think my, you know, theatre background, I'm delighted I've got a theatre background, because I think it's useful in terms of storytelling and the kind of subtleties and the intricacies and the attention to detail and the sensitivity of it. You know, sometimes you go to music shows and they're so high octane and so overwhelmingly punchy, and that sometimes I feel like there's not really the moments to breathe and come down for a bit. And I think theatre is so fantastic. You know, good theatre at its best is so brilliant at sending you to high places and then bringing you right back down to very quiet, small places. And the fact that Bjork was up for that journey was lovely, to bring that theatrical subtlety and extremity of mood into her show was really cool.
Yeah, definitely. No, I think that's a really great comparison of achieving, yeah, both those big moments, but also those quiet, beautiful moments. And I'm curious how you think the set design of Cornucopia compares to, I don't want to say like a typical music show, because I know every music show is accomplishing something different, but what was something, I guess, different that set this one apart?
It's cool seeing that amount of musicians, you know, like, kind of, I'm sure financially it makes less sense to go on tour with you know, seven flute players. And, you know, the fact that Bjork started off the show with, I think it was dozens and dozens of Icelandic choir singers, did it for the first Cornucopia show at the Shed. There was 20 minutes of incredible choral singing by a choir that Bjork used to be in herself. And that to me was, for me, an incredible way to start a live concert, by just hearing voice and nothing else. And that had nothing to do with the set design. That's me. That my favorite bit is often nothing to do with the design. It's the kind of raw human expression that I love. And I love that Bjork's confident enough to do that. And it's kind of champions that almost spiritual side of giving music to an audience in its rawest way. I also like love that she goes into the echo chamber. Watching someone go into an enclosed hut and perform is a seriously unusual thing, but she it was so wonderful to watch. It was so enchanting. And again, authentic to the making of the sounds that she wanted to make and the making of the music. So I don't think there's a show out there like it. And I hope it encourages more artists to take bigger risks and go against the grain.
Yeah, definitely. And then my last question is, what do you feel like is your biggest takeaway from working with Bjork on this project?
My biggest takeaway is having worked with incredible collaborators. The constant kind of quest for collaborating well with people and always staying open and not being precious and being happy to present things and throw them away and try again. But also I think the time we had in which to come up with the final design of the show was not that great, but sometimes not having too much time is a useful thing, because you have to act more instinctively and you can't ponder for too long why it might not be the right thing. You just got to kind of put one step in front of the other and kind of go for it, which is what we did, and I'm really pleased with the result. And I kind of, yeah, to learn to be like that more in other adventures, I think I'll take that away for sure.
A huge thank you to Kiara Stevenson for coming on the show. You can follow her on Instagram at Kiara Stevenson. That's spelled Chiara Stephenson. This concludes my Cornucopia mini-series. Thank you so much for supporting me throughout season 2 and beyond. I'm going to take a break from producing for a month or two, and then research episodes for season 3. But I'll see you later this year. You've been listening to Bjork Unraveled, a series that demystifies Bjork's music one piece at a time. Bjork Unraveled is produced independently by me, Savannah Wright. If you liked this episode, please share it with a friend and submit a review on whatever podcast app you're using. And consider donating to the show. There are 2 links in the show notes where you can make a monthly or one-time donation. I'm an independent producer, so every dollar will go towards music, software, and equipment. With your help, I can continue the show. This episode is brought to you by Endrico Topo, Dama Reddy Yen, Frank Hassenstab, John Wario Rosa, Bridget Wright, James Wright, Troy Tate, Laura Tate, Kinga Miklos, Eli Wright, Simon Mejia Moreno, Tammy McLeod, Guglielmo Rossi, Emily Patton, Chi-Wang Loy, Amirizan Suleiman, and Thomas Geary. How come I can't help adore you? If you have an idea for a future episode, tell me about it. You can find me on Instagram at BjorkUnraveled or email me BjorkUnraveled@gmail.com. I'm Savannah Wright. Thanks for listening.